to the assembly and to the public, and to just bring attention to the fact that we're looking at making some changes. Tonight's report will be a little more in-depth and go into a few more details on exactly what the recommendations of the report are and where we'll be going in Petersburg, hopefully in the near future with recycling.
Well, we heard a little bit on the news, a real brief summary of it, but basically we're talking about a full-on curbside recycling program with mixed recyclables and some sort of container, bags, or bins.
Yes, that's true. Looking at shifting from the current voluntary source-separated program, which everybody separates the materials in their home, puts them out at the curb, and the collection contractor picks them up, keeping them separate. We have to bail them separate at the baler and then ship them south to market. This new program would be everything going into one container, either a bag or a cart, and it simplifies things dramatically for the customer as well as collection personnel and up at the baler as well. So it streamlined things quite a bit, and the main focus is, of course, to pump up the amount of recycling material that we remove from the waste stream and decrease our costs in the long run.
Currently, the recycling program runs at a loss right now, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
The idea being that if you have the whole town doing it, you'll have enough to make better than make ends meet, I guess.
Yes, that's the key. There are a couple charts in the report where I extrapolate some of the data of what is possible with offsetting costs through a recycling program, and it's pretty dramatic. Right now, Petersburg is recycling at a rate of about 10.5%, which is really not all that good in the recycling world. If we can increase that up to 30, 40, 50% or higher, the savings that we realize in our solid waste disposal costs are significant and pay for can offset the costs of a recycling program easily.
John Haverlick, what are your thoughts from the assembly on this program? It seemed like folks, you and other folks, liked it when you heard about it last meeting.
Yeah, it's hard to speak for the other assembly members, but from what I gathered at our last meeting and talking to them since on the street and I think it's pretty much 100% support behind Carl. And he did such a thorough study on this. It was just excellent with the cost and the possibilities. I'm extremely hopeful for it. I mean, it's good for our environment. It's good for our town. It cuts costs. There are absolutely no downsides to it except, getting people changing habits, which is tough, and getting people to do it. And I no downsides. It's all upsides, and I hope people get 100% behind this in town.
772-3808 is the number to call if you have a question about tonight's borough business, particularly recycling, and it's an opportunity to ask Carl Hagerman about the recycling program if you have a question for him at 772-3808, or Assemblyman John Haverlick, too, who you just heard from. And speaking of incentives to get people to do it, that's kind of the thing that will require an ordinance, which is that the garbage rates would change at the lowest level of service, the smallest cans, people would pay there'd be a 20% increase in the cost unless they recycle. Is that, am I understanding that right?
That's correct. In looking at the change to a commingled system and wanting to ramp up the participation as much as possible, we looked at a couple different things. Making it mandatory was the first thing on the list. If we implement an ordinance that requires everybody in Petersburg to recycle, that obviously is going to push up volume, but it really takes the feel good out of the recycling program. Nobody likes to be told what to do. After the recycling trial, the commingled trial was over, we sent out a survey, and we got a very, very strong showing of people that wanted to switch to the commingled trial, but almost equal a showing of distaste for making it mandatory. Mm-hmm. So in keeping the program voluntary, I think there'll be a lot more acceptance of the program and a lot more participation.
And it's still free.
It
essentially
is
free in terms of, and actually costs less if you have a small can.
That's right. So in staying away from the mandatory question and moving towards increasing participation, incentives are the way to go, trying to make people make that choice on their own, but still cover the cost of the program if needed. So our rate structure is set up so that people that have the higher volumes picked up per week, if they recycle, they'll be able to drop those volumes and tap into a lower service cost.
Have a smaller can, basically, yeah. so they'd pay less.
But of course, the problem is, as you mentioned, that the very lowest service level, there is no level below that currently in our rate structure. So instead of trying to create a lower rate, it's important that we maintain our revenue stream as it is today, because there's no guarantee of a successful program through voluntary means. And so keeping that lowest service level present, but incentivizing it by raising it so people make the choice to keep their service level at the same cost and recycle, seemed like a good way to go.
And that brings me to the question about that cost or the additional cost. How do you have to police that then, in terms of if someone says, oh yeah, I'm going to recycle, and I mean to make sure that they have what if you're seeing people who don't have bags out every week and that sort of thing, yet they don't have to pay the increased cost? Is that present a difficulty for the borough?
It throws a little wrinkle in things, and we do the people that will be looking for, they'll have to sign up for the program. It's a voluntary program, so they come into Public Works and sign up, and then they'll receive the bags or the cart or whatever it turns out to be. And then the collection personnel will have to keep a clipboard or a tally in the truck and make sure that people are following through with the recycling, because if they don't, then there'll have to be some mechanism to charge them the increased rate.
Well, we have a caller, line one. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, yeah, good afternoon. This is Bev Richardson.
Hey, Bev.
Hi. And I just wondered if you're going to be able to extend the curbside pickup for the recyclables to parts of the community that aren't currently on the route. I know, like, out here at Frederick Point, we don't get the pickup.
And Carl?
Yes, I think we'll be able to expand that. And actually, presently, have you asked about this recently, Beverly? Because we have expanded the curbside collection of the source separated program out to Papke's. I don't think that we intentionally did not offer it to the folks out at Frederick Point.
Well, originally we had it, and then after a couple of months, originally when they started the pickup, we had it, and then they discontinued it. So I haven't asked since, and that was several years ago.
Well, I can probably solve that. Well, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Oh. Thanks, Carl.
I'll take this a phone call, Bev. There you go. Thanks for calling. Well, yeah. Well, maybe that just sounds like a mix-up in terms of what areas are supposed to be covered. And you do intend, the borough does intend right now already to cover the Frederick Point area as well as Papke's.
Sure. If those folks want to, the changes with the new program will be trying to reach everybody possible in Petersburg, and there are going to be some difficulties in there. The people on the outlying edges of the borough, for instance, that aren't road accessible. That presents a huge problem. Haven't quite got that figured out yet, but I think there are ways to address that and provide recycling to those folks as well as solid waste collection. It requires a lot of those people to bring those materials to a common drop-off point.
Right. So, like, for areas, like, for instance, yeah, where there's some of the houses that are out the road that are not accessible by road but have pathways to the highway, maybe there's you'd have a bin or something there that would be for those folks to put all their recyclables in, and then you pick it up there. That's one of the ideas, maybe.
Yeah. It's based on trying to keep those materials separate and protected so that those containers aren't misused. That's part of the problem we've seen with the drop-off points around town, is that they're oftentimes misused. And the recycles, which are meant to go to a useful purpose, are then contaminated with deer hides or other garbage that makes them it's all garbage at that point, because we don't have a mechanism for separating it here in Petersburg. So.
Yeah, and that's brings me. I've got a caller here, but that brings me to another question. Is I've noticed that the recycling bins are not there anymore at the cold storage, and I forget where the other place was that used to have them. I know they long ago they were taken out of the Heimer Weekon parking lot, but are they permanently gone now from the cold storage area? And you have to go up to the baler to drop off your recyclables, unless you haven't picked them up.
Yeah, that's true. We tried to. Plead with the community to police that area themselves to do the right thing and to put the right materials there. We put signs up under the option of removing those and taking them up to the baler and the abuse continued. So instead of having a mess that was an eyesore and a problem for us every week, we've moved the drop-off point to the baler. So if somebody wants to drop off recycled materials, they need to go to the baler.
Right. And obviously, once this program is unless they join the curbside program, which is still
true.
Going on right now,
yes,
with a separated program.
Anybody that was dropping off at the cold storage that would like to just put it out by their curb can currently sign up for the program and have those materials removed.
And you still have the Petersburg Indian Association as your contractor for that pickup. When that contract continues, basically until you set up this new program and bid out for folks to apply to be a contractor?
Right. Our current contract is in place until the end of March, and by that time, we plan to have gone through an RFP process to see if there's any other interest in the community, and it very well may be that PIA continues to do this, but if there's somebody else out there that has the resources to provide that service, we'll surely look at them as well.
Okay, well, we've got another caller. Hi, line one, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sherry Otness.
Hi, Sherry.
You expressed a lot of what I was feeling about, like, okay, you have to go to the dump. So that's fine. But my question is, what is there any provision at all for the Scouts recycling? I mean, that was the only reason I would take my aluminum to the Scouts dumpster, because I was hoping that the Scouts would get some benefit out of it. And then I put the rest of my stuff up at the curb. So what has happened to the Scout program is one question. And then a question that a friend of mine has, she lives pretty close to she lives out on Sandy Beach Road, and she regularly takes all her recyclables to the dump. It's kind of, one of the things that they do for an outing. And so if somebody wants to do that and they don't want to do the curb thing, what happens then? That's her question.
That's a good question.
Those are good questions. Thanks, Sherry. As far as the Scout program, I know that the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts have benefited dramatically from the aluminum recycling over the years. Excuse me. And this program, it very well make a dent in the aluminum that is collected, but the containers will still be available at the baler.
Yeah, they're still marked Boy Scouts up there now.
They
right?
are. So if folks, and I really encourage people that if they have it in their hearts to donate to the scouting programs, to please separate their aluminum and take it up to the scouting dumpsters that will be at the baler.
And the other question Sherry had asked.
And it is a voluntary program. So the folks that choose not to sign up for the curbside program can surely still visit the baler and drop off recycling. However, if the incentive ordinance does go through, then they will be subject to the higher collection rates if they're in that lowest service level and don't sign up for the curbside program.
Sherry, do you have anything else to add?
No, that's two ouches. I live not very close to the dump, and to make an extra trip for the Scouts is kind of it's just too bad. I'm afraid the Scouts are not going to make as much as they have in the past. So anyway, that was just a concern I have. I don't have any Scouts at the moment, but anyway, thanks for the answers.
Thanks for calling, Sherry. Yeah, well, I guess that's something to look at.
One thing that is maybe a possibility is that the borough doesn't necessarily run the Scouting aluminum program. We do offer a couple dumpsters for their use for free. We have moved those from time to time and kept them next to the rest of the recycling dumpsters.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be an option that the scouting program decides or talks to a business or somebody downtown that will site their aluminum dumpster. And if they do that, we'll move the dumpster wherever they want it. There won't be other recycling available at that location. But if the Scouts determine a location that the aluminum dumpster can go with the consent of the property owner, then maybe that could be a return of a more convenient spot for folks to donate to the Scouts.
John, any thoughts on any of these issues?
No, I think Carl's got this covered really well. The only add-ons that I was hoping we could do is, and it's really tough, is all these little tour ships that come in the yachts. having recycling at the harbors so that they would use that without, you know, getting all the garbage that people throw in. Because now that it's commingled, I think the tour ships would be really open to, you know, to just bringing bags of their commingled recyclables up there. And the other thing I think that might cut down on some of the garbage, because I know they do this in California, Oregon, Washington, recycling. You know, people really care, and it's pretty much mandatory that you do that. And I'm glad they do it. And a lot of the recycling cans are bigger than the residential cans. But they, for some of the public ones, they just have little holes cut in and they're sealed. So you have to either put a can or glass bottle in. It won't hold a bag of garbage. And, you know, that may be a way of you know, cleaning things up a little bit, or keeping the garbage out.
That's how the Public Works had it for the bottles for a while. And the, what I noticed is I'd go to drop off my bottles, and sometimes people would just leave a bag of bottles and other stuff on top of the. Sometimes even just a six pack or half rack of beer bottles just sitting up there, as opposed to taking them out of the container and putting them into the holes, which was actually kind of amazing. But
not very helpful. Yeah,
right.
That type of.
It's like, here you go.
Yeah.
I did my duty. Mm. Yeah, well, and I guess, you know, that's an issue. We have another caller. We'll go ahead and take that one. So congratulations. You've gotten more calls than we've gotten in many shows for this issue. So hi, line one, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, I was reading in the paper about how you guys are going back and forth between using a cart system and a bag system. And, you know, the bags will fill with water, but the carts are a much higher expensive outlay to get into the program. Down the street from me, some of the people that recycle actually use some old milk crates, and those seem to be a less expensive way to go, but at the same time, they're not going to fill with water, and they're going to keep stuff separated and organized. Has there been any thought to that?
Cardboard comes to mind, but Carl, go ahead.
The issue with commingled recycling is that we're going to include paper materials and cardboard, and we need to keep that stuff dry, otherwise it turns into a big mess and nothing that the recycling vendors want to deal with. So it has to be weatherproof in some manner, and so a cart that has a closing lid, much like our solid waste containers, or a bag which can be sealed and keep the weather out, are really the only two options that we can consider with a commingled system.
And I guess the question, which came up at the assembly meeting, I think last time, was can you find a bag that's not going to rip and fill with water?
Right.
And you know, it's and plus one that's you know recyclable. I guess is the idea.
It's an answer I haven't settled on yet because I still don't have 100% that we're going to go with bags over carts. As tonight's presentation unfolds and more feedback comes in from the community, we'll gauge if we want to charge forward with the bag system. Right now, that is the recommendation. It will streamline things and it is weatherproof and it simplifies the collection process quite a bit. But there's a chance that you know if the community wants to make the jump to carts, then we can try to do that.
Those big blue carts that we're like kind of you see in a lot of other towns, that kind
yes.
of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and ideally the carts will end up being bigger than the garbage cans, right? As you put all the recycling, you'll have more recycling than you'll have garbage, hopefully.
It really depends. Yeah, hopefully at some point we will, but it depends on how often we pick it up. There are a couple different options there as well, whether to try and pick up recycling weekly or biweekly, every other week. If we go with carts, we're pretty much tied into using the borough's existing automated truck to pick it up with.
Right.
It's much too labor intensive to have a contractor try to do that by hand.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, so you could use the truck you have.
We could.
Okay.
And one idea that was presented in the report was to go every other week, pick up solid waste 1 week, and pick up recycles the next.
Oh, in the same.
Alternate. Yeah.
And
use the same truck. It's the same route every week.
I could see that
but it's
becoming,
picking up different materials.
I could see some confusion there. I don't know, John. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like anything else. Once people get used to it, I think it'll catch on. And yeah, I won't even get into any of the usual jokes you get into here, which is really killing me.
I'm sure.
But I think it would work. It's just like anything else. People get used to it.
All right, well, we've had a few questions, a few calls, and maybe some ideas, Carl, as you're developing this plan. So we'll hear more on that tonight during the meeting. Anything to add, Carl, before we move on to another topic?
Just really to reiterate that we're looking for feedback right now to listen in to the presentation, to send in email questions or comments, to come to the meeting and ask questions or make comments tonight would be fantastic. We're looking for feedback so that we make the right decision out of the gate here and not have to try and redo things, you know, as we get going and find out that we have a big problem. So more input, the better.
Okay. Also tonight, John, you've got two boards that you and the other assembly members and the mayor will be discussing on your ongoing review of advisory boards. So far, you didn't have much interest, and I think Carl agreed in keeping there was no interest in keeping the utility board,
correct,
or the motor pool advisory committee. Not that you couldn't have an ad hoc committee at some point if right. you had a specific issue, but also there were difficulties getting quorum for that board, that sort of thing. So now you're talking about you did decide you wanted to keep the harbor board, so that would stay in place,
and that would be seven people elected,
right? So that stays, and then the next one tonight you're dealing with is you're looking at the Public Safety Board and the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. I imagine you might hear a little bit from the directors on those boards. Are you hoping to anyway?
Well, I think so, because I know we will, because they should have the major say in how they feel that's going. They have the most experience. And right now it looks like Parks or Rec could go either way, and Public Safety may still want to hold on to theirs. So, for my purpose, and I think for most of the members, we rely heavily on what the directors of those departments are saying.
Okay. And so that'll be tonight for those two committees. And obviously, as I understand it, you have until the end of the year so if for some reason all of a sudden you'd make the decision to kind of move past and not keep, say, the Parks and Rec Board, right. You could always come back and retain it later on, or is that the gist of it?
That's right. Yes.
Right, right. Okay. Also tonight, you've got several ordinances, mostly technical sort of language changes to, as you review these ordinances. And it's a review of all the ordinances in the city, isn't it? Is that basically the way it's working? And that's
right.
that's to bring them up to date under borough formation?
That's correct. They all, you know, if nothing else, all the language has to be changed from city to borough, and it's going to be, I think, a several-year process for that to be accomplished. But it's mostly verbiage change.
Yeah, there is a significant change in one of the ordinances that you're talking about tonight, which is, and I think you talked about it last time, which is the door-to-door sales issue.
Correct.
Basically making it a little stricter in terms of the rules, putting a time frame on when door-to-door sales, for-profit sales, could take place,
right.
And also requiring that the person have an ID badge to show people that they've registered with the city and are official.
Right, and the, you know, they would be taxed. You know, I have to pay taxes on it. And this little ID badge would be like a license.
Right.
So, and I'm really glad that's being firmed up. It needed to be.
And one thing I also wanted to mention is I understand, too, and it kind of, I guess it will eventually vary from ordinance to ordinance, so I think these all, I believe it's correct that all these will end up being put in place borough-wide, but the ordinances, only a limited number of the ordinances applied borough-wide during board formation, things like property tax, that sort of thing. And my understanding is and correct me if I'm wrong on this, if either of you guys, but as the borough reviews the various ordinances, former city ordinances, and updates them to be borough ordinances, they would then go into effect borough-wide, assuming that's what the assembly chooses to do. So it is a review and change in language, but also as you go through ordinances, they would, I guess would depend on the ordinance, but
right.
they would be going into effect borough-wide, or potentially could be going into effect borough-wide, something people should keep an eye on, I guess, if they have particular
exactly.
ordinances that you might be reviewing that they're interested in or concerned about or think should be borough-wide or not, or that sort of thing. Am I understanding that right?
I think so, and I can't imagine, since it's a borough ordinance, it seems like they pretty much all have to be borough-wide as far as their coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'd be a little... Yeah, I don't know... Yeah, I'm sure there are exceptions, but I can't think of any offhand.
One thing that occurs to me, and again, is I remember it came up during the discussion over borough formation, like I think the leash law or something like that, or fireworks came up during. And I see those are not up tonight, but right. You know, when those ultimately, at some point, you'll probably review those ordinances as part of this. And
definitely.
So then at that point, people could weigh in, I guess.
I actually think a number of the ordinances only pertain to Service Area 1.
Service Area 1.
And may continue that way even after they're revised.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Kathy O'Rear would probably be the best source on that.
Right. Well, it's I think that's something that might be, it's worth clarifying, I guess, when as the ordinances
go through. And Carl's right. She's the smartest, so she'd have that down.
Lots of information and lots of help on information there in the clerk's office. So, also tonight, The annual contract with Juneau lobbyist Ray Matyshowski includes a $6,000 increase, bringing the total cost to $42,000 for the year. Carl, I know you're not on the assembly making the decisions here, but I know you've some of your projects, I believe, have probably benefited or had impact from Mr. Matyshowski's work. Am I
absolutely
correct in that?
Yes.
Do you, as a staff member, do you see the value there, or is there enough value there?
As a staff member, I've benefited from his work in Juneau and in some of my projects, and I've seen him in action in Juneau, and I think it's invaluable. He does an excellent job for Petersburg as well as other communities, but he does a great job for us, and his salary is easily paid for by some of the lobbying that he's done for us over the years.
And
that's my opinion.
And and Mr. Haverlick, your opinion as one of the people who'd be voting on this.
Yeah, I'm just kind of a negative guy. I wish there were no such thing as lobbyists, period. Mm-hmm. Locally, state, federally. But Carl's right. I mean, it's almost self-defense. You have to have one. And Ray's very good at his job, and he's helped bring us in a lot of money. Again, I'd rather not have it at all. But if we have to have one, I'm glad we have Ray.
Okay. And then also there's an auction for borough-owned lots that some residents, some neighbors are interested in owning, and looks fairly straightforward there. We don't have the staff to the Planning and Zoning Committee with us here today, but any thoughts on that, John?
No, from what I've read on those, and it seems that it's pretty cut and dry, and you know, there's a little interest in it, and they're sitting there not bringing us any money in, so we... I'd be in favor of putting them up for auction so they can be developed and taxed and, you know, put on the rolls. And that's about the only opinion I had on them.
Okay. Anything else either of you guys would like to add? Carl, whether it's about recycling or other public works-related things, or John, any other things you plan to bring up on the agenda tonight?
I'm happy that you invited me to participate today. I'm glad I was able to get a little more of the word out on the recycling program, and encourage people to tune in or come to the assembly chambers tonight to hear the presentation and ask more questions or give more input.
Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for taking part in Crab Bait Radio this year, in case people haven't heard it. Carl has a starring role in one of the skits.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get his autograph right after this. And then, but the only thing I have is, again, to reaffirm how excellent and thorough a job Carl did on this recycling program, and if there's ever a program that should succeed, it should be this one, just because of Carl's work, and you know, it's good for the town, the environment. There's no losses in it. And the only other concern I have about the meeting tonight is one I'm going to just keep hitting every meeting, is that we're in budget development time, and I would just like all the departments to make it as slim as possible. I really want to stay with that 10 mil cap.
In the property tax cap.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming in today, guys. And we'll hear more from you tonight during the assembly meeting. And you can listen to KFSK for that live, as well as tuning into the borough's website. Did I say city borough assembly meeting? And as well as the borough's website, and as well as KFSK.org. You can listen to it on there, too.